never filtered, always fun.
I know I talk like an idiot, but I could make it work. It might be a little bit choppy, but I could get through it.
I don't disagree with you. I think you'd be okay, but I think there would be a moment of panic. No. At 3:59:59, when you realize I'm actually not walking in those doors.
I'm having a good time. Not.
Shut up and drive.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Hour 2 Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN Go app. Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, and Jamie Noodles McLennan making his triumphant return.
Friend of the show.
Friend of the show. Ahead of Game 1 of the Cup Final tonight, Pittsburgh taking on Nashville. We'll tee it up with Ray Ferraro. Ray will join us in about 20 minutes live from the Cup Final. So we'll start teeing that up. We'll get into what Kessel had to say about Subban yesterday, a little bit more with him. We have not touched on the news of the day. When you wake up to an email that Tiger Woods has been arrested for a DUI, realize that people are going to have a lot of different takes on it.
That's going to send a ripple effect, especially through our timeline, because there were a few things. Yeah, the pick is never going away.
The mugshot, you can never win with a mugshot. It's not a situation where
the
you're
smiling.
The mugshot
might take over crying Jordan face.
I think it has. I think it has. Like it's going to be the most famous picture on a lot of different fronts just because of so many. Like he looks like he's
halfway between hungover and blackout drunk. Like he really looks like he obviously was having himself an evening. He got pulled over and arrested at 3 a.m. And that mugshot, I'm not sure exactly what the timeline was.
The hair. Like
it looks like he has more hair than he did before.
I don't know what's happened.
The hair is
something else.
But all kidding aside, for all you heroes that hover around the water cooler and talk about how disgusting this guy is, that go to the bar every night and have six beers and drive home, just watch yourself. He made a huge mistake, and people talk about it. If you can afford to go out to drink, you can afford an Uber. You can afford transportation. He was at his own restaurant, according to reports.
Well, there's going to be more stuff out there. Unfortunately, you know, he has to pay the piper on this. It sucks, and you know, his people are labeling this as a massive downfall, which it is. I personally think I'm in the minority when it comes to this. I didn't care about the cheating stuff that much. I really didn't. It's a character flaw. It happens a lot more than people think about it. They acted like this. People act like that's the worst thing in the history of the. Believe me, it's
same thing. Guys,
it happens
at the water
a lot
cooler.
More. It happens a lot more
check
than people
yourself.
Think. That's the only thing that, the DUI. It's awful, and it happens, and it happens to good people, and it happens to bad people, and all that. But I don't think this is this guy's public enemy number one, me personally.
No, I mean, to your point, it happens probably too often.
Yes.
And he is not the first celebrity to have this happen. He won't be the last.
No.
This is the first illegal thing I can think of that he's come across, I know of. I mean, to your point, infidelity is not illegal.
No.
Like, I felt for his wife, his kids in the future who are going to have to detail all of that. That was just the TMZ era that we live in.
Right.
There was a new girl that came out every single day.
Yeah.
And because it was porn stars and it was like Perkins Diners.
Well, and he had,
you know, like.
But the thing, that was, remember the difference, perception and reality. He was living this perception that he was this perfect, you know, athlete that
beautiful
was squeaky
supermodel
clean
wife,
and all that.
Exactly.
And the reality was, is he was night and day. He was different than what he really was.
And this is why I don't think this drops him a peg necessarily. Like some people are saying that this completes the falling of out of grace. I mean, the fact is that happened a long time ago for a lot of different people that turned on him or felt like, okay, he's never going to be able to reach the levels he used to be at, and the truth is he was never going to get back there because of what happened back in 08 and 09.
Well, his play.
The injuries and all that kind of stuff. It's an on-the-course, off-the-course situation with Tiger.
Right.
But what also comes out of this is nothing positive ever happens to this guy anymore.
No, that's the that's
nothing
the
positive
thing.
Ever comes out of this guy. It's always negative. It's always setbacks. I don't know if this is going to affect his return in a few months. I'm not sure he's going to return anyway.
Right.
But to your point, though, like, there's going to be a lot of amateur psychologists who are now going to claim he's got all these problems and all these issues. I mean, maybe he drinks every day. Maybe he drinks once a month, and he made a stupid decision. I have no idea. No one knows. But tomorrow, I think, is when the bombshell – well, the bombshell dropped this morning, but tomorrow it can really get out of hand because reportedly the dash cam video is going to be released tomorrow.
Oof.
And this is where –
those are not good.
This is where it can get even uglier. It's an ugly situation for him anyway. But if the dash cam shows him being
– belligerent
or abusive to the cop – or, hey, do you know who I am? Who the hell are you routine? If that comes out, then he's really got a big problem on his hands.
I've seen some dash cams that, you know, you just, everything's out there for everybody. And you go through them, there's been some hockey players, some different athletes, and it's almost like, I don't know why that should be public, but you watch them and it's wow.
Well, like you say, guaranteed.
It's the bomb being dropped.
We'll know about it because you said TMZ is going to have some advanced form of clip or something, or they're going to have some form of transcript where either things are said. It'll be interesting, like if the guy blew. He was in Florida. I don't know what the legal limit is there. It's 0.08, I think.
I think that's fairly consistent. Universal. Yeah. Like, well, listen, it was a DUI, so he went over, whatever it was. And generally, if you're in that situation, you've driven in the way where the cops are like, okay, I got to take a look at this guy.
Right, absolutely.
You know,
he's made a mistake. Absolutely. This guy has broken the law. And to your point, that's the first time, really, that Tiger has broken the law.
That we're aware of. And that's why I think this might end up actually putting his sponsors in a more difficult spot because of that.
Right.
You know, MAD will come out and they'll have a response, I would think. Other people will look at this and say, wait a minute. Okay, you doing whatever you were doing behind your wife's back is one thing. This is a different situation in terms of, you know, people start to talk about the... just the example you're setting, which a lot of times can get so melodramatic. And ultimately, it's not the athlete's responsibility or obligation to worry about what your kid is thinking at that particular time. But sometimes sponsors can get pressured. And that's what I'm curious about here. Where does this go?
You're going to sponsor somebody and pay them millions of dollars, and you see that mugshot? That's not something you want to be associated with.
No.
No, not at all.
And what did we say last week when it came out, when he sent that blog out? Hey, I'm working, I'm feeling better than ever, blah, blah, blah. What did we say? He wants to be relevant. He feels he has to be relevant. And the reason he feels he has to be relevant is because he's got a new deal with
TaylorMade. Bridgestone golf balls.
Exactly.
Well, it'd be interesting to see if those deals have a clause where if something happens like that, they can give him the gate.
I'm sure they do. And why would they not have that ability?
Absolutely.
And now you're relevant again, but for the worst possible reason. You're relevant because now you're going to become somewhat of a punchline. Like the mugshot, it's not quite like Nick Nolte territory, but it's a bad mugshot, man.
There are some mugshots out there that are
like the Nick
awful.
Nolte mugshot is the worst mugshot ever.
Is he smiling?
No, but his hair is smiling. Disheveled.
I can't remember. There's a couple out there that there used to be a website. I can't remember the name of it where you'd go and it was like mugshots. .com or something like that, where you could go and just watch all the celebrities or watch people that have gotten in trouble and look at their mugshots along the way.
Yeah, the Nick Nolte mugshot, I'm looking at it right now. He's got a Hawaiian shirt on. His hair is all over the place.
Shooter McGavin's got a mugshot.
I didn't know Shooter ever ran into problems. Mel Gibson kind of, he's got one.
We're not goofing around on it,
but the truth is, I mean, these are out. James Brown, like, the mugshot, you put yourself in that position,
Right.
What are you going to do? Smile? What are you going to say? Anyone have any makeup I can use a touch-up here before you take this shot? Like, you put yourself in this situation. Cops don't care. They're going to take it because they have to.
Yeah, that's their job.
And it's going to go public because it's public records. The media is allowed to ask for it. Yeah, and I would assume that's why the dash cam video is coming out, too, because they're probably thinking, is it better to get this out now or wait for TMZ to pay someone $250,000 for it?
The website is The Smoking Gun. I used to go on there, and it's got all sorts of mug shots and weird things on there. But, yeah, there's a lot. But it's unfortunate because, like you say, from an optic standpoint, this guy has – was he the most popular athlete in the world at one point? Like Jordan and Woods?
Yeah, very, very short list. Like, for golf fans, he revolutionized what it meant to be a fan of a golfer because of the way he played and because of his background, his personality, how fired up he'd get for big shots and big wins. And it very just, short list in terms of the most popular athletes of the 21st century.
I'll
no
tell
question.
You, a guy that was put in a position today was Nota Begay. He is very close with Tiger Woods, and he was on the Golf Channel today for an amateur golf tournament. And it was like breaking news, and they had to go to him, and they're like, Nota, what do you think about this?
That's tough.
And he was a professional about it. I'll give him credit. He just said, look, this has got to be a learning experience for Tiger. Obviously, he didn't get into too much detail, but he said this has got to be a point where he makes changes going forward, whatever that might be in his personal life or whatever. And I give him credit because I knew that he was doing this for work, and then all of a sudden he got dropped with this question. What do you think about your buddy who just got charged with DUI?
Well, and this is another one of those stories that are about a sports figure, but it's not going to be about sports.
No.
And it's going to be covered as if it's a news story. And what I mean by that is, much like in 2009, Thanksgiving, when everything went down and he crashed into the tree and the allegations came out that his wife was chasing him around with a golf club and she found out that he was cheating on her and all that kind of stuff. TMZ, People Magazine, Us Weekly, all the blogs, celebrity, they started digging their horns in trying to find out what was actually going on. And you can bank on the same situation playing out here.
Yeah.
The media is going to turn over every rock to find out how often he drinks, who he drinks with. Is he an alcoholic? You know, this is what's going to happen to him now.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Everybody's going to be coming out of the woods. Oh, I saw him last week, drunk at a bar.
I wouldn't be surprised at all if video comes out in the next 48 hours of Tiger at some bar 2 years ago
in Vegas
having drinks. Yeah, and it's like, oh, I spotted this. I wasn't going to release it. But now, TMZ is going to pay me $25,000, so here you go.
But what we have to say, like,
well, this is going to unleash
all of
the different things.
He's not the victim here. He's the guy who did. He has to own this, but he also has to, like I say, you, Hayes, you've brought it to the forefront. This is going to open up a can of worms here around him.
Like, just think about the women that he was allegedly with. They're all going to come out, and if they have different things about his drinking habits or whatever, it's a mess.
And it'll be anonymous sources.
Oh yeah,
you know, don't want out the guy's a buddy of mine or whatever.
But we used to sit in his basement and drink vodka till 4 a.m. on Thursday nights. Mm-hmm. It's just a bunch of garbage.
And that's what's going to happen now. That's honestly, he's put himself in the position because he did what he did. He got caught.
Right.
It's illegal. He's out of jail. I don't think he's going to go to jail. He's going to pay a fine. He's going to be on probation. He's going to lose his license.
Yeah, I mean, go through the process that happens with that. But it's like you say, because it's a prominent person like Tiger, who has not had a lot of positive things going out of his or coming into his life as much recently, this will catch wildfire.
I got to ask you guys the question.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always wondered this. And if you feel like torching me on Twitter or sending us a text, go ahead. But I've always wondered why Bill, the accountant, if he gets jammed up after work, he can shuttle himself back and forth to work, and nobody is ever going to find out about Bill, the accountant. So why is it so fair and necessary that a person like Tiger Woods, why this information is shared with the public?
Because of his profile.
That's
it's
profile,
because of who he is.
Yeah, but I just want to ask, do you think that's fair? why Bill the accountant, who's just a normal person, like Tiger Woods is just a person too.
No, you're right.
Should Bill the accountant be able to live his life and set to a different standard than Tiger Woods, where he can just go about his job every day and nobody finds out about his little dirty secret? But Tiger Woods is on CNN, he's on the Golf Channel, he's on TSN, and it's out for everybody. I just sometimes I wonder, and don't kid yourself, I've been in trouble myself before. My parents had to see my picture on TV. I just wonder why Bill the accountant is allowed to go about his daily routine and he can almost survive.
Well, a couple things
it's celebrity
on that.
Status for me.
Yeah, one, the obvious answer is celebrity. Obvious is what's going to sell,
but
what's going to get
clicks.
There's
a point, Brian, I just...
I hear you, but here's the truth, though. But here's where it can also go both ways in terms of, and I don't know if fairness is the right word, because
why
Tiger put himself
because
in this
Bill
position.
The accountant makes a certain amount and Tiger Woods is worth $1 billion. That's why he should
yeah,
be on
TV. Yeah, but let me answer it. Let me answer it. The truth is, Bill may not be able to go on with his life. Bill may have got clipped, and then his job said, sorry, Bill, you're toast.
Right. Guess, nobody would ever know. He just shuttles back and forth to work. He gets a ride.
Not if he loses his gig. Not if he loses his gig.
Why would he lose his gig? Because, no one's going to know.
But if someone finds out, if his boss finds out, my point being...
Boss would have to be in the courtroom when Bill goes to court.
Okay, but what if you're trying to get a new job? At some point, Bill's going to have to say, yes, I have a record.
Right.
Like, you have to supply that. Guess who will be able to continue to go on with his life with $750 million in the bank? Tiger.
Right. Right.
Tiger will.
It
goes both ways in terms of fairness
and
unfairness.
Well, just another side point, I'm sure $750 mil is going to make this disappear somehow or some way.
It will, but it's not going to make the story go away. That's the difference. And you're right, but that's what sells. Entertainment sells.
It's the Kardashian lifestyle we're living, man. That's what gets clicks. That's what gets people buzzing.
But this guy, because of how great of a golfer he was and how great of an athlete he was, people... don't look at him like a normal person. They look at him like a god because he was godlike as a golf pro. As a person, when you start to peel back the layers of the onion, you realize he had his flaws. He was an adulterer. He gets clipped for a DUI. Like, he has everyday problems. Not like, I'm not suggesting everyone else has everyday problems like that, but everyone has problems. His is on a grander scale because he's that popular.
It comes with the territory.
It comes with the territory. And it's unfortunate because what are we talking about? And what we could kill 3 hours, or we could sit here talking about 3 hours about Tiger Woods' life and what we know and what we don't know about him and what is said on blogs and what people with stories. I've got a story about Tiger Woods of a buddy who spent an... My buddies spent a night with him and his buddies, and they said he was a great guy. But they had some drinks and hung out. But that's one night of that guy's life.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Well, and also, Tiger, you got to remember, he put himself in this position.
Exactly.
So it's not like you can...
He's not the victim here.
No, he put himself in the position. We wouldn't be talking about it if he didn't do it. But I think the timeline, in a way, this will probably blow over quicker because... of his already tarnished reputation in the eyes of many people.
Right.
If this story broke 10 years ago, wow, would we have a spicy meatball in our hands. Then you're talking the king of the world.
Well,
he hasn't been the king of the world for 8 years.
Let me
you're
ask
talking
you this.
About CNN setting up shop out front of his house.
Right. Like, you better come out and speak. And people
Wolfie
immediately
Blitzer.
Putting pressure on Nike to drop him, on Buick to drop him. You know, are you actually going to show up to the U.S. Open with all this kind of stuff hanging around him? Where now, because of what's happened over the past 7 or 8 years, his image is so different.
Now it's right. Like the guy's down on his luck, and now look at him.
Well, right.
As opposed to, can you believe what just happened?
This may add to the underdog story, as strange as that sounds. And guess what's also going to happen? If he returns to Augusta next year, he's going to be the main story, regardless of what's happened over the past 24 hours.
Yeah, you're right. So you're talking about is if he was on top of the world, like if he was dominating golf, so it would be a lot different story if he was still a dominant athlete.
And he hadn't gone through what he went through with the infidelities and
correct.
All that kind of stuff.
Correct.
His image was as perfect as you could get. If this story broke 10 years ago, I think the reaction would be different.
Yeah.
Today, his image is already tarnished in the eyes of many.
Yeah.
All right, Ray's coming up live from Pittsburgh. We'll tee up game one tonight. We'll get his take on what Kessel had to say about PK Subban and Subban being traded from Montreal to Nashville. And we'll tee up the game with Ray. We'll get to that next. All right, John Scott will join us in about 6:30. If you're wondering why we're catching up with John Scott, it's because he was a part of the E60 PK Subban profile, was interviewed a couple of years ago, and didn't have very nice comments to make about PK. So we'll catch up with him in about an hour. Game one tonight, Pens looking to repeat against the Preds, and a lot of people are focused on Crosby and Malkin versus the Preds' top four on the back end.
That's pretty.
It's going to be a great matchup.
Yeah, it is. That's a good measuring stick. You're right, because Nashville down the middle without Johansson, a lot thinner.
Let's head down to Pitt now. Catch up with Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst. How would you handicap that matchup? Who would you prefer to have, Crosby and Malkin, or the Preds' top four?
I think probably the Preds' top four, and that's ridiculous because the other two guys are, you know, two of the best players in the league. But basically Nashville can cover almost 50 minutes of the game with four players. You know, they're on the ice, they're mobile, they move the puck, they defend well. It's hard anyway to create offense, and so I just think every team that is going to win is going to be able to get some offense from the blue line. They're going to be able to defend, not so much in the old shutdown role, but be able to defend. And Nashville's got it. I mean, we just did a hit for SportsCenter. Crosby hasn't had a final series where he's dominated significant portions of it. Maybe this will be the one, and if it is, it'll really be something, because that's quite a challenge to play against those four guys.
Me and Pierre LeBrun were on That's Hockey the other night, and we were talking about Crosby's legacy. I think Craig Button had a list out earlier this season, Ray, where he kind of had him around 8 or 10. If he goes on to win the Cup, don't we kind of have to start? I know it's difficult to compare different eras, different players, but if he wins again this year, don't we got to start thinking about him as, like, moving up the chain here?
Oh, I don't know how it would. I don't know how you'd be able to avoid it all. I mean, like,
I agree.
Like, it's not just, you know, there's lots of guys that have put up incredible numbers and lots of guys that have won a couple of Stanley Cups, but as the lead engine on your team for every one of them, is a guy that's won everything there is to win. You throw his international legacy to his
Ray,
NHL
I think
you
could
legacy.
Just go, I think, sorry to interrupt you, I think you could just go to this calendar year, like the, you know, up for the heart, the Stanley Cup, the Conn Smythe, the World Cup MVP, the Rocket Richard, back in the Stanley Cup Finals, up for the heart again. He could win the Conn Smythe if he liked. Like, it's just ridiculous to think of this whole year.
It's amazing, isn't it, that at the age he's at, that there's another gear. That, you know, like, how would you possibly get better from the bar that he's already set? And in a time when goals are impossible to get, he gets 44. You know, the Penguins were shattered as a team this year, with, like Nashville, with just incredible amounts of key injuries, and yet he throws 44 goals on the board. And, you know, he gets banged around as much as anybody. I know there's fans, I still shake my head at these clowns that are like, oh, you know, he gets all these calls and it's like the game's easy for him. Man, he gets mugged more than anybody on the ice. And I think that's a problem. You know, that's another topic for another day. But he's got to battle and fight and claw like players in past eras, I guess, have. But it seems worse or more now because the guys you play against are more mobile. They're better. The players are better than they were 25 years ago across the board. I don't know that there's much... there's much debate in that.
Well, Ray, on that point, though, what do you make of Jim Rutherford, the GM of the Pens, coming out and saying he's sick and tired of the abuse Sid is taking, and if he has to, he's going to go back to the old 70s way of handling things? In other words...
By the way, that is just setting up the Stanley Cup Final for the officiating. Don't kid yourself.
You think that's about the next 2 weeks as opposed to him actually doing it?
Are you kidding me? Of course it is.
Yeah.
See, I think there's... I think it's about the next 2 weeks and then moving, you know, once you get past that, I think he probably believes it as well. But I don't think there's, I mean, it's at media day and he drops that one out. Of course, everybody's aware of everything that the coaches and managers say at this point. And I'm sure in their private meetings, they're saying the same thing, but to bring it up to the public, you just hope to, you know, through the media, you hope to maybe get a little bit of a groundswell of support for, man, the game should be called tighter. There should be more penalties called. And I think that's what it's about. Look at Pittsburgh's power play. Yeah, I mean, if the game was called by the rule book, they'd be on the ice a hell of a lot more, and it would be a big advantage for them.
Yeah. Well, there's been so much focus on the Penguins' defense for obvious reasons. Ever since Letang got injured, a lot of people were saying that they're done. You know, they can't possibly go on this run. And unlike last year where they had Letang, they still have Daly, they've got Mata, they've got a couple of other guys who have supplied some decent numbers and decent production. Last year it was Letang, and by the end of it, just a bunch of stiffs. But are they maybe changing the way we look at defense corps and the importance of building them? I mean, there really is a contrast here between what the Preds are doing with their top four, which almost unanimously is considered the best in the league, and then Pittsburgh's without Letang. They've just got a bunch of guys who are just okay and just kind of plugging away, yet they're also in a cup final.
Well, I don't know that, you know, I don't know that it can be thought of as a model to have where you've got six middle-of-the-road defensemen, if you will, that play as well as they have. Jacques Martin, who runs the defense for them, has done a pretty masterful job. They all six of them play between 18 and 22 minutes. They don't have a standout guy, so you can't play anyone like a standout guy. They'd love to have Letang back there, and they don't, so they've got to do the best with what they can. I don't know that, you know, teams would look at this and say, you know, as we've got to manage our cap, maybe this is the way you can go about it. I think that's a dangerous way to think about it. I think Pittsburgh does it from necessity only. I mean, that's what they have. That's who's healthy. And if they didn't, Letang would be playing the 29 minutes a game that he averaged last year in the playoffs when he was just brilliant. I look at that defense. I'm with you guys. I look at it and I'm like, man, it's not great. Yet here they are, four wins away from the cup. So they've certainly done the job for them this year.
Now they're loaded up front, right?
Yeah,
Sid, Gino, Phil,
right.
Hornqvist returning tonight.
That's my point, Brian. Is that maybe somebody would think, hey, we'll spend all our money up front and try and kind of cobble together a defense. I don't know. I don't think that's something you can think is going to work, of course, because you cobble the defense together and you still don't have Crosby and Malkin and Kessel, et cetera, up front where all your money's spent. You've got guys that are just decent as opposed to among the best in the league.
Well, let's be honest. I mean, there's a team that plays in this city that is not built the same way. I mean, they don't have Crosby, Malkin, but they've got young kids who are moving in a direction where they could be dominant, and then they've got a defense corps that is just okay. You know, let's be honest, bottom third in the league in terms of personnel, and I think they're going to address it. I think we know the Leafs have to address it, but they're not getting Doughty or Carlson or Burns or Letang. You know, that's not going to happen. So they have to go by committee, and I think they almost have to look at Pittsburgh and say, that's kind of what we're going to have to do. We're going to have to rely on our forwards and our goaltending and our system based on what our coach is going to supply.
Well, the only other option they have is wait a couple of years until Doughty becomes a free agent, and maybe you can take a gigantic swing at him if that fits into whatever their budget might look like at that time. Otherwise, you've got to try and trade for them. Who's got an extra number one defenseman around unless you're going to swap what Nashville and Montreal did last year? Like, where else are you going to get those guys? So maybe this becomes, again, out of necessity with the way they're built. Maybe that's the way that Toronto cobbles together their salary cap, is with, you know, maybe a less notable defense, you know, without a big stud, but with guys that are good and can skate and move the puck, like kind of in that thought, because you're going to spend all your money on Matthews and Nylander and Marner in rather short order.
You were talking about Media Day yesterday, and I didn't think much came out of it. It rarely does. I mean, it's no different than the Super Bowl. These guys do it because they have to do it. But there was a bit of a Toronto connection, and, of course, a lot of focus on P.K. Subban. And Kessel was asked about P.K.'s situation and knowing P.K. a little bit, and this is what he had to say yesterday.
You know, I know P.K. throughout, you know, through whatever, and, you know, it's – I know what he's going through and what he dealt with, and, you know, obviously he wants to win it really bad because, you know, he got you know, I'd say the shaft in Montreal a little bit, and that's how it goes, you know, so you want to prove people wrong.
You kind of know what he's kind
of. Yeah, I know what he's feeling like.
So agree or disagree, Ray, my take on it is Phil Kessel stood up and talked about Dion and how he was disgusted the way he was being treated in Toronto. In actuality, it was himself. So now he's taken the opportunity discussing P.K. Subban getting the shaft in Montreal, but what he really wants to reflect is the fact that he thinks he got the shaft in Toronto. Agree or disagree?
That is deep. Oh,
it is deep.
Well, it's actually smart.
That it's deep. It's you're a thinking man. Things have changed. I like it. I agree. I do agree.
Well, when you think about
you're
it, it's
shocked.
You're shocked that I actually came up with that?
Yes, this is outstanding.
Thanks, Ray.
PK didn't get the shaft. He got $72 million. Please, somebody shaft me like that, would you?
That sounds weird.
And then tell me I got to go work somewhere else. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the shaft is when you get a crappy contract. They leave you lingering around. They send you to Robidoux Island or whatever. That's the shaft.
Yeah.
This is... Subban in Montreal, whatever they decided to do, it clearly didn't work out for him this year. But they made a decision to move him along. It's part of the business. As far as it being a shaft, I can't buy that.
Well, he also his way. I mean, every media member in Montreal loved Subban, hated the trade. Fans hated the trade. I'm with you. I mean, I guess you could look at it. You know, he made a commitment, the Habs made a commitment, and Bergevin didn't like him or whatever. Whatever happened there, the reasoning behind it all, he Subban feels like maybe he got slighted a little bit. But I would argue, in terms of the reaction to the trade, Phil probably has more to gripe at than PK, because there were a lot of people that were like, yeah, you got to get rid of Phil. He's got to go. We don't need this guy around anymore. And in reality, the situations were also very different. Like, Montreal made the trade so that they could continue to win or hopefully get better. Toronto made the trade to get worse, and they knew they were getting worse. They had to get rid of Phil in order to execute their plan. So from that standpoint, I mean, Phil can be disappointed, but I'd say it's worked out pretty well for him.
It has, for sure. And this is, I guess, my thought on these. You know, talking about these two players is that, you know, they each, you know, what did Kessel get? 8 times 8, $64 million.
Yep.
And Subban got $72 million. They didn't have ironclad no trades that meant that they couldn't go anywhere. So they didn't get shafted. What I think is a shaft is when a player takes less money to stay in a city. And a big deal is made of it when he signs the contract, both from the team and from the player. They took a little bit of a hometown discount because they want to keep the core together, blah, blah, blah. And then in 3 years, the team goes to him and says, we want you to waive your no trade. I think that's a shaft because the guy left money on the table to be part of something, and now the team's decided to go in a different direction. That, to me, isn't right. This here... You sign a long contract and they trade you. Well, as long as you don't have a no trade, I don't see how that's. They're not making you give the money back. They're not asking you to play for free. They're sending you to, in both cases, to really good places. One's got a cup and one's got a chance for a cup. I can't buy the shaft angle.
No, Milan Mikolic got the shaft.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
that's
Jared Cowan kind of got
Jared,
the shaft.
Jared Cowan got the bad hip.
Colin Greening might have got the shaft.
Hip tightness, like that's, you know, Green, like Mikolic had to waive his no trade to make that trade possible for everyone. And then he's been riding a bus for 2 years. Like,
that was some of Lou's finest work.
That would chat my ass, man, riding a bus.
That was Lou Dini's finest
like,
move.
That is, like...
You know what I'm picturing now when you called him Lou Dini? I'm picturing McCulloch sitting in a chair in Lou's office, and they're talking about the team, and then all of a sudden a trap door opens, and he ended up in the Marlies. Like, the chair just landed on the bus, and he's like, how the hell did I get here?
Yeah, I just...
Like,
Ray, have you ever heard Lou's song?
You're never playing hockey again.
It's a big hit up here.
I just met you, and this is crazy. You're never playing hockey again.
Do you think McCulloch was looking around the office as that started playing? What's his music?
No
What's
kidding.
Going on here?
I know
nice music.
Out the trap door and onto the bus.
You're never playing hockey again.
It starts off so nice, too. It's such a great rhythm.
Like,
and
it's
tune.
At a bar. Hey, I just met you, and this is crazy. Yeah. But you know what? You're never playing hockey again.
But thank you for waving and allowing us to finish that
thank
trade.
Thank you for coming to our team.
We appreciate it. We'll pay. Every 15th day, you'll get paid. You know it. Yeah, that had to sting. I think you're right. That's the appropriate definition of getting the shaft.
Yeah, that's... The other thing is just an unfortunate set of circumstances. That's it.
It's no one's fault, as Lou might say.
And he gets to play for a Stanley Cup.
Well, exactly. Imagine complaining and you're going into game one of a cup final. Phil's about to pick up his second ring. He's still rattled about the Toronto scene.
Yeah.
Anyway. All right, buddy. Enjoy it down there. We'll catch you on SportsCenter tonight. We'll break it down tomorrow.
You bet your boys. Talk to you then.
Here's Ray Ferraro. Down in Pittsburgh ahead of game one tonight.
We got to fly, buddy. We got to go to break. We're getting the...
Steph's all over us today. She's really cracking the whip.
They're waving the Jeff finger back there.
Being a hero.
All right, so John Scott, I've got some props. I've got some puzzle pieces for the Cup Final.
Wow.
All right,
wow.
Let's do it.
So we'll get to that. We'll get back into the Jays and Joey Votto being in town and what took place over the weekend. And we'll keep touching on the Tiger Woods story. Again, tomorrow, reportedly, the dash cam video will be released. And I have a feeling that audio may be played a few times on this show, just to break it down, just to see where it goes.
I'll decide that.
You're going to make the call on that?
Yes.
You're the Grim Reaper when it comes to making that decision?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so we'll see what comes out of that. Again, expected to break tomorrow. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN Go app. Cup final props and puzzle in about 20 minutes. We're giving away an Old Tomorrow craft beer prize pack valued at over $100 in honor of Old Tomorrow's Lighter Up beer. How did you lighter up this weekend? Tweet us at Overdrive1050 how you lit it up. Winner must be 19 years of age or older. Man, did I light it up yesterday. Hit Sheridan Nurseries in the afternoon.
Oh, yeah?
Hashtag mulch
guy. A little mulch.
Hashtag do you even mulch, bro? Because I'm right into it, man. We bought more, like six more bags of mulch, and I was firing up the gardens.
What does mulch do? Get rid of weeds?
No, it's just for looks.
Yeah, no one even knows.
It's garbage.
But there's no reason for it, I don't think.
It's manure of the gardening.
It's a good question. Like, I'm convinced everyone just drops mulch because someone else started doing it, and now they're like, I guess we have to do it.
I don't know.
Because I honestly don't have a clue what the hell it's supposed to do. It could be horrible. Yeah. For the gardens and the lawn and all that. And here I am conveniently out there just dropping mulch bags all over the place. But you go to a place like Sheridan Nurseries, this is where men go to say, quote, whatever you think.
Yeah, exactly.
I saw some guy walking around with his wife, and she was asking him, they were stopping at every single flower pot.
Really?
Do you like this assortment? Do you like the light pink, the dark pink? Should we mix in some purple? All this guy said was, whatever you think.
No.
Whatever you think. Like he cared at all.
Because he wants nothing to do with it.
No, but he had to be there.
I've had to roll around there. And the problem is if you're married to somebody who doesn't know how to take care of it, all you have to do is a week later, maybe 3 weeks later, it's dead and you got to throw it in a dumpster.
Right.
That's what I have to do around my house. It's just throw out dead plants.
You're telling me Steph doesn't stay on top of those kind of things?
She doesn't have a green thumb. No, she doesn't.
I don't picture Steph out there, like, with
Steph,
the water bottle.
On the couch.
She's a murderer of plants.
Yeah, I don't see it
either. We have these two flower pots right by the front, the entrance of the house, dead. Had to throw them out.
Well, that's why we went yesterday, because we had to get new flower pots ourselves. And I guess they have this new, I don't know if it's new or whatever, but a specific type of plant where it doesn't need, it's probably fake is basically what I'm saying.
Plant.
It's plastic. I'll out myself, though.
Really?
Pair of Crocs. I was wearing a pair of Crocs.
With like Crocs.
Oh my God.
I was Crocsing it. I have an old pair in the garage, and I said if I'm going to commit to mulching, I'm going to wear
shorts or no
shorts, Crocs, and mulch
and blue socks. Tell me you had like
different multicolored. I don't think I had socks on. I got pictures, man. I'll
Dude,
show
if
you guys.
Have, if you have socks on, shorts, and no shirt, then I surrender. You win life.
I try.
Actually, you gave up on life.
It's one or the other. I'm a minivan away from just saying it's over.
You
it's
are
done.
Close. You
and
are close.
Family road trips to Prince Edward County. And like,
you
I'm,
know that
I'm
golf
closing
course
in
Whitby? What is it called? It's there was a TSN tournament there 1 year. It's like on a gravel pit out in Whitby. Or
the dog track we played a year ago?
No. Nothing's as bad as that. This place is in like Uxbridge or whatever.
It's Windance.
Windance. Yes. If you get a minivan, just go to Windance and drive it off a cliff and get it over with.
In my Crocs, throwing mulch out of the windows.
Just spray mulch out the windows and take your shirt off and end it.
And end it. Call it a life. Call it a career. Matt tweeting is in as if he knows. Mulch keeps the moisture in the ground.
Okay, Matt.
And then Dom counters with, no, it's all cosmetic. It does nothing.
Thank you.
I think I'll sign on with Dom on that. I don't think Matt has a clue what he's talking about.
Matt thinks he's Frankie Flowers.
Do you guys see at the big G7 over in Italy?
Trump?
This is my favorite Trump story, and that's saying something. They were walking around Sicily or something, right? And it's like in The Godfather when Michael Corleone's over there. It's all hilly, you know, it's kind of tough to get around. And six of the seven G7 leaders decided that they're going to go for a walk because they're walking up the hill to get some picturesque moment or whatever. Trump holds off and waits for a golf cart and takes a golf cart up the hill.
I think it's brilliant. That's a veteran move.
I totally agree with you.
I think our guy wanted to take his shirt off and do a selfie with like whoever's available.
He couldn't wait. He was waiting for the pics. He looked good. He had the suit, the button done up, which was totally unnecessary in that kind of heat.
Whereas Trump is just, but he is 70. What is he? 73?
He's 70 years old.
Yeah, Trump.
He's 70
like,
right on.
He's an elderly man.
Right. I'm with you, man. I'm totally with you. Like, this isn't controversial. This is the Rob Ford effect. Remember, after everything happened with Rob Ford, anything he did was deemed an embarrassment and all that.
Right.
It's like breaking down Trump's handshakes.
Yeah.
Everyone's breaking it down like it matters or it means something in international diplomacy.
Yeah. I mean,
but I'm with you, man. This is a vet move. Who wants to walk when you can take a golf cart?
I would have taken a, especially with the state my back is in right now, I'll need the golf cart. But
I need you in a golf cart. I need you driving around the TSN compound in a golf cart.
I need one of those mall carts. You see people with mall carts, you know, those, what are they, scooters?
Yeah, scooters.
That's what I need to drive around here on the TSN lot.
Man, those cause a scene, though. You get someone in a scooter who's gone in for the chip alley and you're in his way, you're in big trouble.
I'm all over it.
Yeah.
But yeah, Trump's done a lot of stupid things. I don't think that one was stupid. I think that was just, I thought it was kind of funny, actually, the golf cart.
Yeah, who cares?
But
like, get on him for
wouldn't
real
it honestly,
stuff.
Honestly, though, like, wouldn't it be for security reasons? Wouldn't you think?
Well, the other six
don't
leaders
know.
Don't have
well,
people.
Well, you think anyone
I
as
thought,
polarizing as this guy?
I haven't been on the show.
I think it's
laziness. I thought the push was the...
Oh, of the president of Montenegro?
Yeah, like just out of my way, I'm here.
Yeah.
Was so obnoxious.
That was the most outrageous thing I've ever seen.
It was as obnoxious as you can get. And then he looks at the woman and points at her, does the Trump point, which I don't know why he's pointing at her.
He's so obnoxious.
It's
That's the obnoxious stuff. Like the golf cart, I don't care, but him, like just dusting people out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm here now. That was ridiculous.
All right, John Scott, some props, some puzzle pieces ahead of game one. We'll get back into the Jays with Votto in town and touch on Tiger again as well. Overdrive continues on the TSN Go app.